The passage we would like to read today is in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles. And if God's people in times of recovery, in days gone by, sometimes they stood for several hours while the scriptures were read in their hearing. And I think it might be helpful for us just to read the contents of this interesting passage and then have a few points that we would like to dwell on for our benefit and blessing. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and reading at verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation to Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. I notice in the Revised Version and in the Mr. Darby's, he says they had not sanctified themselves in sufficient numbers. And so we find here, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not ye like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you, if you return unto him. So the prophets passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves, and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood, which they received of the hands of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people from many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than was written. That Hezekiah's prayer, but Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord, pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek his God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the priests gave the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and they that dwell in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. We've been hearing about prophetic truth, and we want to just look a little now at some historical truth that we have brought before us in this remarkable chapter. Our brother has already referred to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now that's very encouraging for us to read the Old Testament, and we would encourage those who are younger to not neglect any part of the scriptures. We should read it because that's where we get our spiritual food, and that is how we're going to be strengthened and maintained and learn the divine principles that are taught to us in the Word of God. It's a remarkable thing about this Passover that Hezekiah kept in his day. It's one of the outstanding passages of this part of the Scriptures, because we know that Israel and Judah as well, they turned away from God, and oftentimes they sank into the grossest of idolatry. How it grieved the heart of God. But thank God for those kings that were raised up. The outstanding ones that we find are, first of all, King Asa and King Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Josiah. And it's most refreshing to read those passages that deal with the times of recovery and times of blessing when God visited his people, when the Word of God was given its place. I believe that that which was responsible for the breakdown of God's people in Old Testament times was their ignorance of the Word of God. It was the work and responsibility of the Levites that were scattered throughout the nation to keep the word of God before the people. But they must have sadly failed, and no doubt it wasn't all on their part, but on the part of many of the people besides. If the word of God had been kept before them, there's no doubt that their lives would have had a different tone to it altogether, and there would have been a far better life to live and a far happier life for God's people and more for the glory of God. I think perhaps in Jacob's prophecy, was it regarding the Levites that he would scatter them in Israel? And no doubt there was a divine purpose in that, and that was so that the scriptures would be kept before the minds and hearts of the saints. If we were to read these chapters here, 29 and 30 and 31, we would get a feast for our souls. It's most encouraging to think of how Hezekiah sought the Lord and brought about such a remarkable time of blessing among the people of God. His father, Ahaz, was not a good king. And his son, sad to say, after him, Ammon, was not a good king. And yet Hezekiah shines out. And his son, sad to say, after him, Ammon, was not a good king. And yet Hezekiah shines out as one of those who brought about a remarkable recovery in the nation. Therefore, we think of this dear man, and his name means Jehovah will strengthen. And he certainly lived up to the meaning of his name. And one other point is that in chapter 32, I believe it is, that the name of his mother is given to us. And I believe that that has a reflection upon how this man turned out. So that we often see that the lives of some of these men in the Old Testament, no doubt the credit could be given to their mothers when they went on for God and when they were a blessing among the saints. But there are a few points in this chapter that we want to just dwell on briefly. And first of all, we want to look at what we have here in verse 6 of the chapter. So the hosts went from with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord your God." Turn again. Now that just simply indicates that they had turned away to begin with, and they had to turn again if they were going to be right with God and enjoy the blessing of the Lord in their midst. I remember hearing about a young man years ago who went to Mr. Darby. He was upset and he was distressed. He'd gotten away from the Lord. And Mr. Darby said to the young man, he said, "You just turn right about." Now he meant in a spiritual sense, of course. And he says, "You'll find the love of God shining upon your countenance." He indicated to him that the love of God was following him, even in his backsliding and getting away from God, and all he had to do was to turn around, spiritually as it were, and he would know the blessing of the Lord once again. And so we think of these words here, turn again. Oh, how important it is, if we're not happy in soul, if we're not enjoying the scriptures day by day, if we do not enjoy the exercise of prayer, we need certainly to turn again. And that is what the exhortation was here. It's impressive to notice that although this was about 5 years before the most of the 10 tribes were taken away into Assyrian captivity, that Hezekiah held this Passover. And he actually sent his invitation into the tribes of Israel. And we find that there was a response from 5 of those tribes, and they came up to Jerusalem to keep that Passover unto the Lord. And then again in verse 9, we have a word there, "Now Be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord.
Yield yourselves unto the Lord. That no doubt would remind us of Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some of us who were saved in early life, perhaps we didn't think about things like this, and it wasn't until we got a little older that we began to realize really what the demands of God were upon our lives. But oh, how marvelous. Now, this word, yield yourselves, in Romans chapter 6, is a reminder to us of the truth of baptism that is so clearly taught there. And that word yield is the very word that we have in Romans 12, present. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Brethren, I believe that the fulfilling of Romans 12, 1 and 2 is simply a proper apprehension and appreciation and submission to what we profess when we follow the Lord in baptism. It didn't take us long to carry that out. It gave us real joy. I'm sure we can bear testimony to that fact, that when we obeyed the Lord, we had a joy that was perhaps greater even than the joy of salvation, because it was the joy of knowing that we had pleased the Lord. And so we have that principle suggested here, yield yourselves unto the Lord. They had yielded themselves to other things. But God wants our hearts. He wants our affections. And this is how Hezekiah appealed to them. And then we will find out too that the result of that will be that others will be encouraged. You know, restoration, why, it often stirs the hearts of others as well and affects others who come in contact with us. And so we discover here that he mentions that others would turn again and also would seek the Lord. And I believe that really happened. God reached and stirred the hearts of many of his people. And we find they came up to Jerusalem to this time of the Passover. We notice also that there were some that mocked in verse 10. Why, they just mocked the message and the invitation that was sent. But then it's good to read in the next verse, nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Now that shows that there was pride existing there. Pride. They humbled themselves in spite of the fact that they may have mocked it at first. And yet it reached their souls. And they humbled themselves. And they came up to Jerusalem. And the result was that wherever there's humility, it will certainly bring about unity among God's people. And may the Lord help us then to realize this. That if there's pride in our lives, it's going to hinder us from being able to walk with the Lord, as we've been hearing, ten to walk together, except they be agreed. Never put the word how in front of that. I've heard it quoted that way sometimes. It doesn't belong there. It's an impossibility for two to walk together, except they agree. Be agreed. You can't have the ground to walk together on unless there is that oneness of mind. So the humbling of themselves, it brought about humility, and they came up to Jerusalem. And then we will find, as we go down the chapter to verse 20, that the Lord hearkened and heard. How wonderful to think that the Lord heard the prayer. Now here they are keeping the Passover in the second month, because they were not prepared to do so in the first month. And God made provision for this second Passover, in the second month, when people were on a journey, and other things that might hinder them, they had the opportunity of doing this on the second month of the year instead of on the first. And we notice here as well that in verse 20 we have that brought before us. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Now you see, there's a certain ceremonial preparation had to be made for keeping the Passover. And there wasn't time for them to do all this. But you know, the point is this, that they were right in heart. They had prepared their hearts. And you know, heart work is far, far ahead of mere outward ceremony in our lives. Oh dear brethren, sisters, and we know it's possible that outwardly everything may appear all right. We may perhaps be regular and consistent in our attendance at the meetings than we ought to be. But oh, at the same time, is the heart in the right condition? And so that the Lord heard the prayer of Hezekiah, and in spite of the ceremony not being fully carried out, and yet the Lord healed the people, indicating that there certainly was a need for healing. And then we notice that it was such a time of blessing here that we read in verse 22, and Hezekiah spake comfortably unto the Levites. That is, that word comfortably, often in our margin is given, he spake to the heart. So Hezekiah spake to the heart of the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord, and they did eat throughout the feast seven days. And we think of how Hezekiah's words were encouraging. And these Levites had been revived, and they were teaching the good knowledge of the Lord. And the result was that they kept the feast for the 7 days. That, of course, included the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover was the introduction of it. And for 7 days, they ate unleavened bread. That is, all evil was put away out of their houses altogether. To you and me, there's a spiritual lesson in that, as we know. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is that which should characterize us all. And if that is the case, during the 7 days of the week, we'll be able to come together in a proper manner for edification, exhortation, and also for the remembrance of the Lord Himself. And then when we come down further into the chapter here, we notice in verse 23, and the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days of gladness. Now we know that this wouldn't be possible in our economy today, but these people were pastoral people and agricultural people in their activities, and it was possible for them to do this. And you know, they had such a time of blessing that they determined that they would keep other 7 days, and they did so with gladness. One time years ago, we were over in Newfoundland, and there was a 3-day conference there, and the weather turned quite stormy, and the ferry didn't run the next day for most of the people to leave and get on homeward. And so the folks just settled to have another day of meetings. And you know, it's wonderful to see that exercise among God's people, to take advantage of the opportunity of being together under the sound of the good word of God. It was a day of rich blessing to God's people. And we find here that they settled for 7 more days. And I'm sure that they certainly were repaid for so doing. And then as we come down toward the end of the chapter, in verse 25, and all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwelt in Judah rejoiced. I'm sure that there had never been such a time of joy and blessing in the nation of Judah. There was very little joy when those evil kings were reigning, when idolatry was flourishing, and God's people were in a sad state. But here we read about joy. There was joy in the time of David's reign. A happy time among God's people. But there were centuries that passed by when little of joy was ever known.
But here we find that there was real joy there. There was great joy in Jerusalem.
And there hadn't been such a time since the days of Solomon. Oh, we think of it. Those several hundred years that had gone by, and they had never known such a time of blessing in their history during that time. And it surely ought to stir our hearts when we think of it, brethren, that the Lord is coming. Time is short. And it surely ill becomes us to allow ourselves to be turned aside, our hearts to grow cold, and our Bibles to be neglected, and the exercise of prayer not going on in these lives of ours. Because really, how can we go on with God? How can we be happy? And how can the assembly flourish unless we know what it is to be united and happy in the Lord and enjoying His blessing as we have it in this chapter? It surely is most refreshing to read these three chapters here, 29 and 30 and 31. And I've noticed in chapter 30 that almost every verse, we would be richly repaid to read it and to take time and meditate upon it. And it will certainly be a blessing to our souls if we could just lay it to heart. Hezekiah certainly was a king that was a blessing among God's people. And you know, it often takes a leader to be in touch with God and exercise through the Word. The Word of God had power in his life. And we do not know how much of it he may have had. I notice in connection with Josiah that Josiah began when he was quite young to purge the house of the Lord and to attend to the things of God. And while they were doing that, they found a book. And that book was brought to the king and read before him. And it caused him to weep and it caused him to tremble when he thought of the terrible departure there had been from Scripture and from the mind of God. And God granted them a time of blessing then as well. Oh, brethren, may God help us to heed the practical exhortations we've heard today already. And by His grace, to feed upon His Word, still on thy holy word, we'd live and feed and grow and go on to know the Lord and practice what we know. Brethren, if we believe the Lord was coming at any moment, you think we would neglect our Bibles? We certainly wouldn't. We wouldn't neglect prayer, waiting upon God, or attendance at the meetings. One brother was asked one time, if you knew that the Lord was coming before morning, what would you do? He said, I would read my Bible, I would pray, and I would go to bed like I always do. Well, you know, that may seem like a straight answer. But after all, brethren, let us carry on our mode of life, keeping in touch with God, keeping in fellowship with our brethren, and by the grace of God, allowing the Scriptures to correct us, to encourage us, and to feed our souls. And His blessing will be known, as it was in the days of Hezekiah. Oh, to think that all those years passed by, since Solomon had passed off the scene, right until then, they had never known the joy that they had. And may God grant that when these meetings are over, that we'll go away happy in soul, filled with joy, and with godly determination to pay attention, to pay close attention to what He says in His Word, that it may guide us and be a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path.